International trade and climate change have exacerbated the problem of invasive species around the world. One of the most destructive of those invaders, the Asian carp, is currently en route to the Great Lakes. And joining us now to talk about the threat the carp pose to the Great Lakes and the efforts to prevent them from reaching the area is Jennifer Nalbone, Director of Navigation and Invasive Species for Great Lakes United. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Leonard. Thank you for having me.
Why and when were the Asian carp imported to the United States?
Well, the Asian carp were imported to the United States in the 1970s without being screened for any risk before they were brought to the country. This is actually still a problem with our laws regulating importation of live animals. Without pre-import screening, species like Asian carp, the Burmese python, which has invaded the Everglades, and pet rats that carried monkeypox that have been brought to the country, and that needs to be fixed. But in regards to the carp, four different Asian carp species started being imported in the 70s to clean aquaculture ponds in the southern United States. The four species are the bighead, the silver, the grass, and the black carp. The first three, the bighead, silver, and grass, eat plants and algae and kept aquaculture ponds from getting overgrown with weeds or developing algae blooms. The black carp eat crustaceans, so it prevented ponds from getting snail infestations. Fish farmers would throw a few Asian carp into the ponds, and it was an easy way to keep them clean as opposed to having to drain them and remove whatever was clogging up the pond. The problems really started when the carp started escaping the fish ponds.
Was it easy for them to escape?
Well, many of the fish farms located down south are in areas that flood. So during flood events, the carp would escape the ponds and into adjacent waterways. After a while, after enough flooding and enough carp got loose, they began to find each other and began reproducing. And to let you know how quickly that happened, we know that the carp were imported in the 70s, and the Fish and Wildlife Service documents that heavy flooding throughout the 1990s allowed these fish to escape into the Mississippi and migrate into the Missouri and Illinois River. So in a nutshell, these fish populations exploded across the region and spread over 900 miles north from one end of the country to the other in less than 20 years.
Don't some of them get pretty big, 100 pounds or so?
Well, Asian carp are really perfect invaders, and the size is one of the characteristics that makes them so. But let me back up just a little bit and talk about what an invasive species is and what it's not. Invasive species are not native to an environment. Asian carp didn't evolve in North America. They evolved in Asia. But that fact alone doesn't necessarily make them invasive. We'd never call a cow, for example, an invasive species. In order to be invasive, the non-native species has to cause problems, and the Asian carp definitely fits that bill.
That's because in Asia, I assume, there are predators who keep them in check.
Yeah, that's part of the reason, exactly. Here in the United States, the Asian carp quickly outgrow any potential predator. They become untouchable in the lakes and river. The bighead carp can grow up to 5 feet and weigh 110 pounds, and the black carp can reach 150 pounds. They grow so quickly because they just eat nonstop. They don't have a true stomach, and so some of the species are capable of consuming upwards of 40% of their own body weight in food each day. Another characteristic that makes them perfect invaders is they're incredibly prolific. Some species can carry over 1 million eggs in their lifetime, so those characteristics really are a real fatal series of punches to the native ecosystem.
Isn't carp a food fish?
It is a food fish in different countries, and I know in Canada, the Asian carp species are imported into major cities for the live food trade. So there are regulations to ensure that the food trade is not a vector for introductions.
I was just thinking that we could, one of the ways of controlling them would be to overfish them, as we have some much nicer species of fish.
Well, if overfishing could actually stop the carp, I'd be out there with my knife and fork right now.
The climate of the northern stretches of the Mississippi, very different from the southern end of the river. Can they live everywhere?
Well, there's been some risk assessments performed, and both the United States and Canada have determined that the Asian carp would do quite well in the Great Lakes and in areas northward into Canada as well. So the native range of the Asian carp is well suited to the Great Lakes region and more and northward as well.
Mike, go ahead.
One thing that should be noted is we've been talking about the Asian carp in the environment, but the really crazy thing about this story is, and part of the reason why I think they've gotten such tremendous international profile is the jumping carp. One of the species, the silver carp, jumps out of the water when it's startled, and so a boat motoring through the infested area is going to cause the fish to jump. It's kind of funny sometimes to have a fish jump in your boat, but that's not the case here. It's lots of fish jumping and lots of big fish weighing 10, 20, 40 pounds. And it's proven to be a real safety hazard, especially if a boat's in motion. Boaters have been injured, broken jaws, bloodied noses. A jet skier was knocked unconscious and had to be pulled from the water. The jumping silver carp have severely impacted fishing and recreation on the Illinois River. And so recreational boaters in the Great Lakes who like to take their family out for a ride or go fishing are definitely worried about their favorite waterway getting infested and family or guests getting hurt or possibly worse.
My guest is Jennifer Nalbone, who's Director of Navigation and Invasive Species for the Great Lakes, for Great Lakes United. The Great Lakes are huge bodies of water. Could these carp become a major problem in so much water?
They definitely are a risk to the lakes, and also some of the areas that are identified as probably the most carp friendly habitats include areas like Green Bay and West Michigan, Saginaw Bay, Lake St. Clair, Western Lake Erie. Those are some of the most popular boating and fishing spots as well.
So what's
and
being,
then the
go ahead.
Yeah.
Go
the
ahead.
Concern is that the carp, when it stop at the lake shore, they'd start to move up into the rivers. And so there is a concern they can move into northern Canada, as well as possibly the Hudson River, which is artificially connected to the Great Lakes via the Erie Canal and connections to Lake Champlain.
So this sounds pretty horrifying. What's being done to stop them?
Well, historically, the Mississippi and the Great Lakes basins were not connected, and so this problem really wouldn't have happened where we're concerned about a Great Lakes invasion 100 years ago. There's a watershed divide between the two basins, and what happened was that watershed divide was punctured. A man-made canal was connected the Mississippi River system to the Great Lakes. It was constructed in 1900, essentially reversing the flow of the Chicago River and diverting water away from Lake Michigan into the Des Plaines River, which is part of the Mississippi River Basin. The motivation for reversing the river was because in Chicago, in the 1800s, the Chicago River became a focus of industrial activity, including slaughterhouses and lumber mills, and there was a great amount of volume of untreated sewage that was going into Lake Michigan, which was the source of Chicago's drinking water. So this conduit now allows the Asian carp to move through from the Mississippi River unfettered into Lake Michigan. So in the short term, what's been happening is state and federal government officials have been investing in developing and constructing barriers along the Chicago waterway system to stop the movement of invasive species. But from the beginning, there was a general understanding that even if the barriers operated as designed, they wouldn't last forever, they wouldn't guarantee 100% effectiveness. Over time, through error, through accident, natural disaster, they might fail.
I would assume so, flooding would be a big issue as well. It's what got the carp into the Mississippi in the first place. And if even some of the the most effective barriers really become ineffective during flooding, don't they? Also, wouldn't floodwaters carry the fish eggs past any barrier?
Absolutely. Floodwaters right now are considered part of the reason why carp are believed to be past the electric barrier. The Des Plaines does have carp in it. It's part of the Mississippi River Basin, and it's very in very close proximity to the Chicago waterway system, and it's flooded into the Chicago waterway system as recently as September of 2008.
I've heard also that poisons have been used, but is poison a good idea? Doesn't poison kill everything?
The poisons that have been used, rotenone, do kill all fish, and there are concerns that this is not a long-term solution. We cannot keep on poisoning the waterways in order to keep the Asian carp out. What we've been seeing since the late fall of 2009, when basically all hell broke loose up here, researchers from the University of Notre Dame began detecting carp DNA above this electric barrier, and we thought the carp were much further away from the barrier than that. We saw an unprecedented effort by the federal and state agencies to work together to prevent the Asian carp from establishing in Lake Michigan. They're working to find and eradicate the individual carp that have moved past the barrier because of possibly the floodwaters, like you mentioned. They're working on strategies to upgrade the electric barriers. They're trying to stop the floodwaters from the Des Plaines. More poisoning and lock closure is on the table. Bubble and acoustic barriers are being developed. It's really an all-out effort to stop the carp in the short term. The concern with all these short-term emergency efforts is that we can't keep it up forever. No one management strategy is going to work alone. Technology could fail. We don't have a bottomless pot of money to keep these efforts going full tilt. So we really need to move towards a more permanent solution.
Well, what about bringing one of their natural predators into the environment? Would that then just cause another problem because that predator would wind up becoming the next invasive species?
Well, we certainly need to develop strategies to try to reduce the populations of the Asian carp in the Mississippi River Basin. They are extremely problematic and a hazard to boaters and recreationalists. But the best solution for the Great Lakes is not letting them get in, so we don't have to try to come up with those types of solutions.
Although it sounds like a losing battle.
Well, there are some plans underway to try to advance to a permanent solution. There's a growing agreement that a permanent protection comes through ecological separation, where no interbasin transfer of species via this Chicago waterway system can occur. It's essentially a restoration project, restoring the natural watershed divide that was punctured over a century ago.
Are the Asian carp the only invasive species that threaten the Great Lakes?
Oh, no, not at all. We have invasive species that can be transported into the Great Lakes from ballast water of international ships. We have a handful of international vessels that come from the Atlantic Ocean and transit all the way up into Lake Superior, Duluth, Minnesota, and they can carry invasive species. Once an invasive species has gotten a hold in the Great Lakes, it's really in the heartland of North America, and they can move through the Chicago waterway system, down the Mississippi, up through Canada. It's really quite tragic what's happened with the invasive species in the Great Lakes and how it's impacted freshwater resources across the country.
Jennifer Nalbone is Director of Navigation and Invasive Species for Great Lakes International. I want to thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Leonard.